I'm gonna just be quiet.
Awesome. Great. So now we're going to start another fascinating topic in our series of discussing great, fascinating, groundbreaking tshuva of the last century. Interesting halakha l'maaseh discussions as they have come up in the Gedolei HaPoskim of the last 100 years. So tonight we're going to discuss a shaila that I assume is probably a daily discussion in the Beis Medrash, in the dorms, in your local shuls, wherever you grew up and came from, be it with your siblings, parents, Bezrat Hashem, with your spouses and your family. This is a question that comes up very, very often, which is arguably the most important question. Who gets to control the air conditioning remote? You want it to be on, 18 degrees. Your roommate's like, 18 degrees, I'm going to get sick. I want it on 21, right? Fahrenheit, you're like a 68, 72. Wait, that's really expensive, right? All the balances between the different factors of who controls the AC. This is a question that comes up all the time. We're going to leave the family scene out of the picture a little bit and stay more in the public realm when you go to shul, and all of a sudden, there's people in shul who are like, I want the AC on, chas v'shalom, how could the AC be on, right? Gemara and Yuma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas al mamon Moshe Yisrael, the AC is never allowed to be on, that's kasvei tzibur, that's public funds, you can't ever turn on the AC. And there's a guy who's like, I pay dues, I am sitting in shul schwitzing, and I gave the money, and my $1,000 due, that's purely l'shem AC, right? There's always like that guy who's like, I am sponsoring the AC. In Shniblachim, in Ne'ah Sharim, and other places, it's actually, they have ACs on the wall in many of these places. And the way it works is because they don't have public dues. There's people who come in and out every single, one guy shows up for Mariv at 10:30, 11 o'clock. There's like a Shacharis, starting from, before Netzachama till, Chatzot Hayom. You could catch Shacharis right followed by Mincha. And I guess if you're chassidic enough, you could probably dive in Marv maybe right afterwards. Here, Eli, you want Makoros? Okay? So, in a lot of these, in some of these Shtiblachim and Me'ah Sharim, the way it works is there'll be an AC on the wall, and the way to turn on the AC is attached to one of these, electronic money boxes, and you put in a 5-shekel coin, and it turns on the AC for 15 minutes. Okay? Because they don't have the funds to pay for AC. But they know people want it, so they actually have in a lot of these places where the way to activate it is that someone, some guy is like shows up to Mincha and he's like, I'm more than happy to sponsor AC for the chevra for Mincha, okay, or Shacharis or whatever it is.
Put your money where your AC is.
100%. Put your money where your AC is. Some people say 100%. Some people are like, no, I don't want the AC on. It's there because it looks pretty, and like we turn it on like 2 weeks a year in the dead of the summer. And 2 weeks in the middle of the winter, and that's it, right?
The heat.
So tonight we're going to discuss some different opinions on how we relegate and mitigate some of the different issues that come up with controlling air conditioning in halacha. Mainly, we're going to be focusing on towards the end, a shaila in the Shevet Alevi, Rav Shmuel Alevi Vazner, who was nifter a few years ago. He's nifter Pesach 2015, is when I was in the army. I remember it was his Levi was on the, I think this is the first day of Chol Moed, second day of Chol Moed of Pesach, was Nifter at, I think, 103, massive posik in Bnei Brak. Interesting. He was a chassid, but also a very, very learned and litvish type of personality, fascinating personality. Not going to discuss too much, just because we have a lot to say in his personality, even though I wish we had more time. So right now we're going to focus a little more on Rasigya. We're going to open off with the question that Rav Vazner was asked. We're going to then see some of the Makoros. We're going to see three different general opinions in who controls the AC remote after seeing a little bit of some of the Sugya backgrounds. And then we're going to see what Rav Vazner responded to some of the Shailas. It's interesting, in Chelek Chet, he was asked one Shaila on it. And then in Chelek Tet of his Shailas and Tshuvos, he has another Tshuva where it's like four more questions were asked him about air conditioning. I assume those were follow-ups to the original Tshuva, but I don't know that for a fact, but that's just my assumption. If someone saw in Chelek Chet, hey, Rabbi, you discussed air conditioning, so we've got a few more questions, a few more, debates. Hopefully we're relatively calm debates in Shul of who gets to control them or not. So let's try and see some of the Makoros. The question that Rav Vazner was asked in Chelek Chet, this is the original question, he was asked in Chelek Chet, Siman Shin Zayin, Siman 307. B'inyan kviyat mazgan b'beit ha-knesset, regarding the air conditioning that was set up in the Shul, asher rubam ha'anim tza'im sham, na'anim izeh. Most of the tzibor, the majority of the people, want the AC. They're happy that the AC is on. Yeah. Val yidei zeh, right? And as a result, they're able to sit in the shul for davening, for the base medrash, for the shiur, right? The AC enables them to sit there longer and be more comfortable. When shuls, you know, everyone's sitting there schwitzing, everyone's looking at their watch being like, can the chazan go any faster? I'm like dying in here, and I want to take off my tefillin, my talis, I'm just dripping with sweat, I want to, you know, you want to leave. So the AC enables most of the people who are comfortable, and they're enjoying, and that makes them able to stay for more learning and more davening. Amnam. יש לפעמים תלמיד חכם וזקנים וחולים שאין יכולים לסבול קירור המזגן לידי זה הפותחים חלונות וגורמים צער לאחריני. Okay? But there are some people, whether it's those who are elderly, those who are sick, or people who just naturally are a little bit more warm-blooded, and they don't want the AC on. So the AC is on, and what do they do? There's always that guy who walks over to the window, opens the window, and that lets out some of the AC, makes it a little warmer, but other people don't like that. לידי זה פתיחת החלונות. But when you do that, when the guy goes over and opens up all the windows when the AC's on, it ends up making the air conditioning not effective, and it's a huge waste of money because the AC now works harder, and no one actually benefits from the AC, so it basically just is literally throwing money out the window. I once was on a bus, I don't remember from where, it was in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a person in the row in front of me, and two rows in front of me. One of them wanted the window open, one of them wanted to close for a solid 30 minutes. Open, the guy behind it closes it. Open, back and forth. Until someone literally, they kept their hand in the window like that, being like, if you close it, you're going to break my fingers. For like an entire bus ride. It was a little bit comical, but it was also a little bit childish. But it was definitely entertaining at the time. So let's try and see a little bit into our Makoros and understand a little bit of our debate in some of the background. And then we're going to see three different general opinions towards this Machloket. The Gemara in Bava Batra Daf Gimel Amud Bet discusses a whole sugya regarding what's going to be when we come to, right, shuls are built with money that's designated for shuls, has a certain form of kedusha to it, okay? So when it comes to building a shul, right, if I donate money towards the shul building fund, the shul can't take that money and now go buy food for kiddush. Similar to if I donate money specifically towards buying a Sefer Torah, the shul can't use that to renovate the bathrooms in the shul, etc. There's a hierarchy of the priorities that certain money, if it's earmarked for certain issues, you're not allowed to use it for other things because it was set aside for Inyanei Kedusha. So too, the Gemara discusses, Lo Listor Adam Bei Kenisha. You're not allowed, right, to destroy a shul because that has Kedusha. Destroying a shul, selling shuls is a huge sugya in halacha. Not a discussion for now, but you should be aware the sugya is discussing coming from the background of kachim, right? Ki'ilu, not kachim, he didn't like korbanos and kachim from like money that was given to the Beis HaMikdash. But the fact is that money that was designated for shuls or the actual physical building of the shul is going to have certain, you know, kedusha style properties to it, and you can't just do with it willy nilly whatever you decide. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar v'chesed, lo listora inshe bekenishta, ad debani bekenishta achriti. If I want to build a new shul, I'm not allowed to destroy the old shul until the new one is built. Okay?
You have to put up one shul before you...
Exactly. Different reasons in the Rishonim why that is. Either if you destroy the old shul first, where are we going to go to Davin? Where is Shir going to happen? Right? You lose the entire Beit Knesset. There's not going to be a Makom Tefillah. There's not going to be a Makom Torah. We need to build the first. Others, maybe there's a din in Kedusha, right? There's Kedusha to the Beis HaKnesses. So when we build a new shul, it's kilo your podeh, you're redeeming the Kedusha of the old shul onto the new shul, and now you're allowed to take down the old shul. Those are the two main opinions in the Rishonim, not going into those.
Until you have a substitute, you can't build.
Correct, because you're redeeming, just similar to any other case where you're being podeh, you're right, pidyon aben, you're being podeh the kedusha of the child and giving it to the money to the kohen, right, pidyon peter chamor, all different interesting sugyos that come up all throughout Shas, where you're literally redeeming the kedusha of A and moving it on to B. Okay, often though, we know, practically, sometimes you need to destroy and knock down the shul first, or you knock down the old shul to sell certain parts of the shul, so that's how you raise money for the new one. Not getting those are interesting discussions in halacha, not our topic tonight. This is really just a springboard. Ika d'amri, those say mishum pshiata, right? Vika mishum tzaluya. Okay, different reasons. Maybe if you knock down the old shul, you know what? So this is a big problem that's come up with some of these Corona minyanim. People aren't going back to shul. You know what? I enjoy having minyan in my backyard. Why should I ever go back to shul? Davening's longer. There's a speech. There's a this. There's a that. I get a minyan every week because there's 12 of us in my backyard. Why should I go back to shul where I get a minyan once every 6 months? Maybe if I'm lucky on Simchas Torah, I'll get an aliyah. Okay? So a lot of these issues, right? Okay, my benai, what's the difference between the two different opinions? Right? You build another shul first. Okay, Maremu Marzutra Satra Ubane Be Kaita Besiata, Ubane Be Siata Sidvaya Be Kita. Okay? Part of the discussion is, well, the difference might have been that they built the spring shul in the spring and the winter shul in the winter. Okay? They literally had separate shuls in the times of the Gemara in many communities. They had a winter shul and they had a summer shul. You literally had a separate shul depending on the season, right? That sounds kind of crazy in our minds. But what's the purpose of having a separate winter and summer shul? Rashi explains on the Gemara there, Beit Knesset Hayah Lehem Limot HaChoref, Namuch BeKotalim Urachavim BeChalonot. The winter shul. It had very, very short walls, and it had very wide walls. The chalonot muatim, and it had very, very small windows. Mevnei Atzina. It was so cold outside, so we wanted to keep a very small building without windows, because that was our way to keep the heat in. We didn't want big windows that are going to let in fresh air in the middle of the winter in Bavel, in Eretz Yisrael. It's going to get very windy, it's going to get rainy, it's going to get snowy. That's not going to be a conducive davening or Torah learning makom. So, in the winter, they had these very, very small, relatively speaking, small shuls with short walls and very few windows. Okay. And then Rashi says, Ubimot Dachama, Beit Knesset Acher, She'avir Sholeitbo. In the summer, they had different shuls, and it was open to the elements. They had very big windows, taller ceilings, right? Because they wanted to get that breeze in the summer. You sit, right? Summer, sometimes you're in a room and the AC, and there's no air conditioning. The windows are all shut. There's like a stifling heat. We see from this Gemara, coming off right at the very beginning of Bava Batra and Dav Gimel, that there is an inherent difference in the architecture of the winter and the summer shul, showing that naturally, we have a natural disposition too. In the summer, we want the air. In the winter, we specifically don't want the air. This might be some sort of precedent setting in how we relate to the Makom Tefillah of how the shul should actually look in the summer, how our shuls should look in the winter. It seems to be in the Gemara that in the summer, the shuls have open windows. In the winter, the windows are closed, right? This isn't like a halacha, Torah halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. This isn't like a psak halacha. But this isn't, you know, this is what we'd call common sense, right?
Practical consideration.
Exactly. There's a practical consideration that we want to focus in the winter. It's cold outside. In the summer, it's hot outside. And those balances are important to keep into consideration. This is what I mentioned before, that Ellie and I learned this Mishnah in Peya last week, and we're going to see this a little bit later in one of the opinions. The Mishnah in Peya is discussing a case where, generally speaking, Peya is supposed to be left in the field for the Aniyim to come, right? Peya is when you leave a corner of your field for the poor people to come and pick and have food for their own benefit, okay? So there's a diuk in the Mishnah based on the Pasuk that says that generally you're supposed to leave the fruits, the vegetables attached to the ground. The Aniyim come and they pick their own fruits and vegetables. Okay, that's not getting into the whole Mishnah. You're supposed to leave it there so the Aniyim could come pick on their own. But what if we as the Aniyim, the Balasada, the owner of the field, comes over and says, my workers are in the field, we have the tractor running, right? It wasn't Shemitah, the fields were being worked. I could have my workers pick the field for you. It'll take us an extra 10 minutes. I'm more than happy to ask the guys to plow the field and prepare little piles of the food. It'll all still be there for the Aniyim. I'm not going to take any of it. But I'm offering for your own benefit. If you're interested, I'll be happy to have my workers pick it for you to make your life easier. Okay? The Mishnah, it says two different tales. At the end of the day, the Mishnah says, okay, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af b'chalikei agazim, afilo tishin v'teisha omrim l'chalik, v'echad omer lavuz, l'zeh Shimon Omer k'halacha. Okay? The Mishnah tells us, halacha l'maisa. You have 99 aniyim say, we'd be so happy for you to pick the fruits and vegetables in the field, so we don't have to go and pick it, right? We don't have the tractors. We don't have the sickles and the scythes and the baskets and all that's needed. We'd be more, thank you so much for offering your workers and your time to pick the peah for us. We really appreciate it. Thank you. 99 out of 100 poor people say, we'd love for you to do that. Thank you. One guy stands up and says, no, leave it. I'm more than happy to take it myself. Kahati points out on that Mishnah, that's true. Even if the one guy who says no, he's bigger, he's stronger, he has his own tractor, he has his own machinery. So he says, I don't want you to do it because I have an advantage, right? If you leave it all in the field, I'll get a bigger cut. I'll get a higher percentage because I have this natural advantage. I have the machinery, I have the physical strength or the speed to be able to maximize on this situation. The Mishnah then tells us, in the name of Shmuel, Shmuel says, halacha l'maisa, that one guy who says, I want you to leave it as is, don't pick it, that one guy is the deciding factor. He outvotes all 99. And you're thinking, that's crazy. How could one guy outvote 99? That sounds preposterous. So the Mishnah, the Kahati and the Mepharshim point out on this Mishnah, because the Diyak, at the beginning of the Mishnah points out, the Halacha from the beginning is really you should leave it pit, you shouldn't pick it. We learn out from the Pesukim that it's meant to stay attached to the ground, and the Indian pick it themselves. The fact that the guy wants to do a chesed, he wants to make life easier, that's all nice, that's sweet, that's very much appreciated, but that's not going to overturn the bottom line Halacha. Halacha is attached to the ground. So if one guy wants to keep the status quo as is, he can overrule everyone else. And that's how we paskin halacha l'maisa. This Mishnah is, if one ani says, I want you to leave it attached, and all 99 say no, he wins out. So we see, generally we think, when you take a vote, who wins in on a vote? Who wins when we take a vote? Generally you're taking a vote, majority wins. Our Mishnah says, there's some times where majority doesn't win. There are cases where one guy beats out Rov Ruba. It's not even, you know, 51-49 that maybe, you know, maybe if you say there's three doctors who say X and five doctors who say Y, but the three are more knowledgeable, they're experts as opposed to, you know, general practitioners, etc. Different discussions and how we weigh medical opinions and halakha, different questions of those sort. Maybe not every vote is equal, but a 99-1, it sounds preposterous to say we hold by the one, but the Mishnah and Peah tells us explicitly there are cases where one can outvote 99. Okay? Two different cases in the Shulchan Aruch, and then we're going to get more into our discussions here. Okay? The Shulchan Aruch tells the Choshen Mishpat, Simon Kupn and Vav, Sif Bet, regarding a store that is in the Chatzer. Right, you have a Chatzer that was shared by a few different people. You had, you know, five or six houses, let's say, opened up into one courtyard that was shared by everyone, a Chatzer Meshutaf. You had a shared courtyard that all the chevra, we use it equally, we use it in different purposes, okay? And one guy wants to open up a store. The neighbors, they can say, no, we don't want you to open the store, right? This is equally my courtyard as it is yours. And if you open up a shoe store or a bakery in the corner, I'm not going to get the same benefit. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be customers, Bezrat Hashem, coming to your store often. There's going to be people, there's going to be noise. I'm not interested. I don't want to deal with it. Not interested. Okay, and anu yocholim lishon mikol, right? If you say I can't sleep because the noise of the hammering, right? The guy is a shoemaker or an ironsmith, right? He's making swords, he's hammering out the metals, etc. I can't sleep at night because you're banging on the anvil with the hammer. You're doing whatever it is. It's bothering me. Okay, ela ozem machta bechanos v'mocha l'shuk. So you should do your work elsewhere. Okay. And the difference that comes out in the Shulchan Aruch is it something right now he's saying, I want to open a store for the first time? Then you could say, I can't sleep because of the noise. But if the guy's had his store in your chatzar for 30 years, or you moved into the apartment knowing that there's a blacksmith in your chatzar, you can't now go and say, hey, I can't sleep, you're annoying me. Halachically, obviously, there's a ben adam l'chavero, we want to try and come to compromise and work things out between us. But psak halacha is you can't now retroactively, after he has a chazaka, he's been doing it for years, you can't now come and say, stop it, this is inappropriate, I don't tolerate it. That is the psak halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? This is also going to be very important. It's interesting to note, we'll see this a little later on, I'd say 98% of the literature in halacha about air conditioners is from, I'd say, 50 to 20 years ago, when air conditioners, you know, I don't remember it as well, but air conditioners made a lot more noise, and there was a whole discussion of many bozos that you could only run your AC during the day, but you're not allowed to run your AC at night because they made the engines made so much noise that it would disturb the neighbor beneath the AC unit, their sleep, right? If your AC unit's on the side of the building, the guy whose window is right underneath the unit, he's not going to be able to sleep because of the noise. So today, our modern ACs, generally that is not the issue. If it is, you should probably call a repairman to get that looked at. But practically speaking, most of the sugyas in about air conditioners and most of the tshuvos about AC are not about who gets to control the rights to using the AC, but can I install an AC? And if so, can I run it? Or is that going to disturb my neighbors etc. Not a discussion for now, but just important to note because that really ties into the Shulchan Aruch of what type of kpeda can I have towards the noise that the guy's making in the chater. What type of noise that the air conditioner is running in the chater. Okay, the Ramah argues on this. This is V.H. Onum. There's those say, to call Masha Ose Bechanutu Beitzo, Afilu Lachatchila, Enan Yechol Mechot. It's his chater also. It's inside his house. So I don't care that you're my next door neighbor, but if it's inside your house, it's inside your house, right? You're the guy in the room next to you is blasting music at 3 a.m. Hey, that's his room. You don't have the right to go tell him that. The Ramah then continues, V'davke b'nei Adam b'riim. But that's only for people who are healthy. Okay? Aval im heim cholem v'akol mazik lem yim cholem imchot. Even if the guy had a chazakah, he's been, you know, had his blacksmith shop there in the backyard for the past 20 years, all of a sudden, lo aleinu, you get very sick. And as a result, you can't fall asleep. You're very sensitive, right? You're suffering from you're suffering from migraines. And every time he hits his hammer on the anvil, you're like thrown into this incredible pain. Of course, you have the right to be like, hey, I understand that for the past 20 years it's been this way. I suffer from migraines. This is really, really painful. I can't tolerate this. And then the Ramah says, in that case, because you're a chole, you have the right to now be kofa him. So for the Ramah, a chole overrides, the guy who's sick overrides the chazakah of the guy who was there beforehand. Similar to the guy in the peya, the one guy can override the 99 in the case where we're going back to the halachic status quo, even the majority feel otherwise. Another sugi in Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll get more into our AC discussion. The Shulchan Aruch points out, Misha Hechzik Lasot Melachos Dam, right? Someone who had a chazakah to do bloodletting, right? They used to bloodlet, to suck blood, to remove blood, to draw blood from someone's body in order to help heal them. Generally frowned upon by modern medicine, but I guess ask your local Orthodox doctor. But I don't believe anyone will recommend it.
There's iron deficiency for over too much iron in your blood. They will bloodlet.
Okay. Oh, nevelos v'chayoti b'mekomos, or you're doing certain work with, you know, dead animals, you're running a tannery, right? You have a shechita house, it's going to smell bad, it's going to make lots of, you know, it's going to be gory, it's going to smell lots of flies, right? It's not so fun to have the guy, you know, guy next door, you know, a shechita house, and there's, you know, blood everywhere, it smells gross, and there's, you know, a lot of flies, and you don't even get free meat, so what's the benefit? You don't even get the benefits, okay? V'kansua oravim, and as a result, all the birds are coming there because they're attracted to the blood. Okay, and then you're also right, it's bothering you. There's going to be the noise from the birds, there's going to be all the animals, etc. Okay, and they're going to be in the trees, and they're going to ruin your fruits, they're going to go to the bathroom all over your stuff, your makbid, or your achole, right? You hate the noise of birds, or you're sick to the point that the birds are going to cause you actual damage because you're not going to be able to sleep at night, etc. Or it's going to make you lose your fruits, right? The blood's going to ruin your fruits, right? No one wants blood-covered apples, right? I don't know. I personally don't. I assume most of you aren't so into that, besides for the halachos of blood. I don't know, blood-covered peaches, etc. Fruit doesn't sound to be too appetizing. Okay? So Shulchan Aruch basically says, Chayav levatel oto malacha, o yarchik sh'at shelo yavo lenezim mechmatan. If these are the cases where the work the guy's doing in his chater is actually leading to you to monetary or physical personal damage, then you have the right to say, hey, you've got to stop. You can't keep doing this here. You're causing me personal damage. Or you could say, our chater is this big, go to the other corner. Right? I'm willing to impose here. Go to the far side of the chater that's not near my fruit trees. That's further away from my window because I don't want to smell your bloody corpses, the carcasses of your animals all night when I'm trying to sleep. It's not so pleasant. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And the Ramah says, V'adin kol nezek gadol she'ein adam yachol esavlo. The Ramah says, this isn't just bloodletting. This isn't just dead animals. This isn't just, you know, birds and noise. It's true for any type of nezek, any sort of damage that is going to affect you in some sort or of negative way. Okay? So far, our hakdama to our sugya of who gets to control the air conditioning, the great air conditioning debate, as we called it. Bava Batra, the Gemara tells us there were separate shuls for the summer and the winter. Winter, the shuls were very small windows, low walls trying to keep the heat in. Summer, we had very wide windows, big walls trying to get as much fresh air as possible. Okay, Mishnah and Peya, one person can override the 99 other aniyim because they want to follow the status quo in the Mishnah, in the Halacha. That's what the Pasuk says, you have to leave it on, even if he has an advantage. And then we saw these two sugyas in Choshen Mishpat, with Shulchan Aruch Ramah, about what happens in Hilchos Shechinim when you have neighbors, one person is leading to certain discomfort to the other. How are we going to relate to that in Halacha? Yeah.
Using this logic, would you be able to tell your
Okay, great question regarding, you know, your neighbor smoking and the smell annoying you or bothering you. That'll have different discussions in how close is it, how far is it. Maybe you should tell them to stop smoking because it's lechora and isur d'oraita of v'chaybahem of harming their own bodies. Different discussion, not for now, but there definitely is room to discuss that, right? Smoke is a whole sugya. Smoke devar she'ein bo mamish, yesh bo mamish. Smoke, it's not tangible, but on the other hand, it does cause damage. That's a whole discussion of tangible damage from smoke. If it's near your you run a dyeing industry, so the smoke from the guy next to you is going to ruin all your fabrics. Now your entire business goes down the drain. Whole discussion about relating to smoking. We're going to have a whole shiur on smoking and halacha in this slot. But right now, it's a great question and definitely going to tie into this discussion. But it's kind of an offshoot of these sugyas and choshen mishpat in relationships between different neighbors. Is it on our topic or it's following that?
On topic.
Okay, yeah.
What about a double stuff? Like someone's doing, like I guess air conditioning, where if it's off, this guy's going to be in pain. And if it's on, this guy's going to be in pain.
Awesome. We're gonna touch on that. That's definitely part of the discussion of how do you find that middle ground, right? If you want it on 18 and he wants it on 37... you're clearly not going to find a middle ground.
Yeah, the middle helps no one.
Exactly. The middle ground of like 28 just means everyone suffers.
That means it's a good compromise.
I mean, halakhically, it's
good compromises are that everyone's like satisfied.
Yeah, it's, you know.
It doesn't mean we're like, oh, this is the best thing ever. We're satisfied with it. It doesn't mean like we all suffer. Okay, let's start seeing. We're going to see three different opinions. Let's start with the first opinion, which is going to be seemingly most similar to our discussion in Bava Batra. The first is going to be the opinion of Rav Nevensol and Rav Schlesinger, which is that we follow, and a few others, that we follow the seasons, okay? Similar to our Gemara in Bava Batra. There's a certain logic that says when it comes to who has the final say in is the heat on, is the AC on, is nothing on, we look outside. Is it currently sunny and 38 degrees out or 97, whatever, I don't know the exact conversion, right? You guys prefer Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Fahrenheit.
Okay, it's currently sunny and 99 degrees out and the guy's like, I think the heat should be on, and everyone's like, no. Okay? So that's one thing for the winter, right? It's snowing outside and it's 27 degrees and you're like, I think we should have the AC on, you know. Everyone's like, that's probably like a horrible idea. Okay? So the first opinion is we really want to follow the seasons. Rav Nevin's all right, okay? The minhag is Bachorev Sogrim, in the winter we close the windows, in the summer we open them. Or if Schlesinger similarly, right? The minhag of the world is that we look outside, we see what time of year is it. Okay? In the summer, the vote of those who say, let's open the windows, is inherently a stronger vote. It's not that each person is equal. In the summer, there's the natural nitiya, the natural inclination is that the AC is on, that the windows are open. In the winter, the natural starting point is, hold on one second, the starting point in the winter is that the heat's on. So if Schlesinger points out that in the summer, we start with the windows open, the AC is on. In the winter, we start out with the windows are closed, the heat's on. And if it's like the middle ground, it's the fall or the summer, then we find a middle ground between them. But at the end of the day, we really are looking for Rav Nevensol and Rav Schlesinger. The focal point is, what time of year is it? And then Rav Schlesinger adds in the middle months, right, where it's spring, it's fall, we want to come to a healthy pshara, we want to come to a compromise. And the ikar, he adds at the end, right, ubilvad shel egilik tiktata. You shouldn't come to fighting. We shouldn't make this like, you know, we're going to have a breakaway minion where the AC's on. We're going to have a breakaway, someone... I was discussing it with someone the other day. We were talking about it. He said the shul he was at, there was a minion outside the shul to protest that the AC was on. So they davened outside the building. But what? The spot where they were davening outside the building was right next to the engines, right, the manoa of the AC. So they then turned off the AC inside the shul because the engines were making too much noise for their protest minion outside. I said, so if they're making too much noise for the protest minion outside, then why don't they go back inside? Right? They left the shul because they were protesting the AC was on, and they turned off the AC of the shul because when they're outside on the side of the building, the engines from the AC were making too much noise, they couldn't dive in outside. Right? A little bit crazy, but that is clearly a machloket that we want to avoid, right? They're going to be breakaway minyanim from the shul, people davening on the street to protest, right? They got picket signs, and you know, they're tar and feathering the gabbai because he's got, you know, because he says, you know, against them, right?
Shaking hot tea down there.
Yeah. That's probably not like the best idea, you know. Yom Kippur, like I got a problem. It's like, what do? You tar and feather the gabbai because he turned on the AC. Like, I don't know. That's probably not the best idea. Okay. This is going to lead us to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, as it points out, very fascinating. The idea brings a whole machloket about whether or not, right, based on the tshuva of the Rivash, about renters and neighbors, and the Chazon Ish brings from the Rivash that we actually go by what is the normal usage of the place, right? There's a difference between an industrial complex, right, a whole area where everyone's got warehouses, versus a, you know, a suburban community where everyone's living in their own homes or an apartment building, right? There's a natural difference between things that are allowed legally and practically, the things you tolerate when you're at work in your warehouse and the guy next door has a mechanic and he's got a garage. But if he's got him, if the guy in the bottom floor of the 20-story apartment building, where there's seven apartment buildings all right next to each other, opening to one square, and on one of the bottom floor, one of the squares, is a mechanic and he's fixing cars at 3 a.m., I don't think that's going to fly. So the Chazon Ish points out from the Rivash that, right, Avalim Adam said, Dvarim Sharob Bnei Adam Osim Lefamim Tashmisham Vidiburam Ashmiya Kol Shafriya Etachola Eniacholim Chot Afim Achola Kodem. If this is a normal usage of the space, even if you're sick, remember how the Ramah said the person who's sick has a certain ability to overcome and overthrow everyone else. The Chazon Ish says that's true. But if this is a totally normal usage, even if you're sick, you can't overthrow, you can't outvote the normal usage of the space, right? The Chazon Ish says, even if you're sick and you can't sleep, but your neighbor's baby is crying, you can't go over to them and say, take your baby out of the house. Right? Why? Your baby's preventing me from sleeping. Get rid of your baby. Go for a walk. Go get a hotel. I don't care. I'm having a hard time sleeping because I'm sick and I can't sleep because you're crying baby. Get out of here. The Chazon Ish says, you can't do that. It's totally normal that people have babies in apartment buildings, right? But if you were living in an old age home and someone's grandkids are around with a baby, and the baby's crying all night, and you're suffering from whatever, sleep issues that you have, and so you call your neighbor and say, your grandkid is driving me crazy, I can't sleep, the Chazon Ish would probably say, even though apartment buildings are normal for babies, in an old age home, I don't think that is probably going to fly. The Chazon Ish would agree that even though it's normal to have kids in different areas, that's probably not going to be in an old age home, there's a different minog. Okay? V'rashay adam levno bayit atzal chavero lachnis dola. Okay. Basically, that's the opinion of the Chazon Ish. The Mishpatei Torah, Rav Shpitz. Interesting post from Yerushalayim has a bunch of svarim called Mishpatei Torah dealing with a lot of practical halachic issues. So he mentions, he takes very much along these lines. He says, practically speaking, in the winter, then you follow the opinion of those who want to turn on the AC, or turn off the AC or close the windows. So if Rove want that. Because the Chazon, okay, and in the winter, summer, you follow the opinion, right, the status quo is that it's open and the AC is on, but if the majority want otherwise, then they can potentially outvote it, unless, except for the case, and that's the case, even if it's going to cause damage to someone's health, if someone's, going to have, they have some sort of, right, they get colds very easily, for example. So, the AC on is more likely to give them a cold, they're going to feel less comfortable, they're going to get sick. In that case, we're more like, even if, because we follow the seasons, that seasons are going to trump the person who's sick. Okay? But then he says, in the spring or in the fall, okay, then when we have this issue, so then we follow the opinion of those who are sick, because then they have a certain hands up. It's the middle ground. We look for a compromise. So if someone's sick, we follow their opinion, but we want to always try and see if there's a way to come to a balance between them. But if someone, right, but we follow the chola in the middle grounds. Right? But then he adds at the end, even though we said the halacha is we follow the seasons, and in the middle grounds we try and come to a compromise, but the middle grounds, the person who's sick, has a certain, extra weight. We want to try and find a middle ground where everyone's going to be happy, because we know Bnei Yisrael, Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, Ugom Lechasadim, the midah of Bnei Yisrael, that we're anshei chesed, we want to help each other. We shouldn't be looking to shtip each other. Oh, I know he hates the AC, and it's currently the winter, so I'm going to turn on the heat to the highest setting, not because I want it and it's the winter, but because I really don't like Reuven over there, because he always tries to steal my makom and shul and get there before me. So if I turn on the AC, he's going to leave, and I'll get my makom back. That's like clearly not the best thing to do. Okay? And so he has a long ha'ari where he basically comes to prove that this is how I found this Chazon Ish, where he says the whole Chazon Ish would for sure explain they put this out. Okay? And this is the whole discussion, right? We see here the air conditioner halacha by Rabbi Yair Kaufman, right? He brings down that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Paskin this way as well, that during the winter, if someone wishes the windows be shut, his opinion has preference. And during the summer, on the other hand, if someone wishes the windows may be open, then his opinion must be followed. Rav Yisrael Salanter said, similar to our Mishnah in Peah, the status quo in Halacha is summer, AC, / windows open, winter, windows closed, / heat. As a result, because that's the baseline Halacha, Rav Yisrael Salanter tied that back into our Mishnah in Peah. What does that mean? If this is the baseline halacha, this is the status quo, this is our starting point, then one guy who walks in and says, it's really hot, I want the AC on, and everyone's like, no, don't do it. That one guy turns on the AC for the entire show, doesn't matter. Because the baseline halacha follows the seasons. And he makes that tiyuk from the mission that we saw before in Peah, that I had discussed to learn with Ellie last week. Okay? That is the opinion of Yisrael Salanter. So basically, the Chazon Ish, Rav Nevinsel, Rav Schlesinger, the Mishpatei Torah, and Rav Yisrael Salant, are the former chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, are all pointing out that we go by the seasons. When the trump card is, what time of year is it? Okay? Now we're going to look on to stage two, which is not going to be a seasonal issue, but rather, as I titled it here, he who is cold gets to decide, right? If all of a sudden you're freezing, you automatically get the vote. That sounds kind of preposterous, no?
Yeah.
So let's see why. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Hilchos Shabbos, okay, this is a very, very important halacha. The Gemara tells us, and it's based on a klal in the Gemara and the Rishonim already, but I just brought the Shulchan Aruch because I'm trying to move a little quicker through some of these sources. But Arzot HaKarot, in the cold places, in cold countries, it's mutter to have a non-Jew on Shabbos light a bonfire, to turn on the furnace, to turn on the heater for the young children. And it's even a mutter, not just for the young children, but for the adults to come and get benefit from. Why? He can even turn it on, not just that he's turning it on for the kids, and then the adults can get benefit from it once it's on because we had a heter because of the children. It's mutter to ask you to have a non-Jew turn on the heat for an adult, not just the kid. Why? Shakol cholim etzel akor. There's a klal in halacha when it comes to the cold. Everyone is considered sick, right? Akol cholim etzel sin, akol cholim etzel akor. Ellie's giving us a weird look. Ellie's from Canada. He's thinking, you guys are crazy. What do you mean cold? Are you kidding me? Like,
that's not what I'm thinking. I was thinking, does that change in climates where heat is the larger concern?
Okay, fascinating question. Great. I'm going to address it in 3 seconds and we're going to move on because it's not our discussion. Realistically speaking, the Gemara, Rishonim, and most Achronim only discuss it going from cold to hot for one reason and one reason only, I think. This is my personal assessment. They had absolutely nothing to do when it was really hot. They couldn't turn on the AC. They didn't have fans. There wasn't like a means of creating cold. Right? They could turn on a fire to create heat. They didn't have a way to just all of a sudden generate cold. So you take off, you know, a layer. You know, what are you going to start doing? Flaying your skin? Like, there's not much you could do to start making it colder. You could go sit in a bath. You could, you know, but you didn't have like a turn on ice cubes.
Swimming.
What?
They weren't much swimming.
So that's an interesting discussion in like the extreme heat when we're going to allow someone to go. That's going to be a classic, you know, Camp Shiloh, you know, extreme heat going to the pool, things like that. It's not a statement of comfort, but it's saying that it's so cold that you can get. So there, no, that's not true. There is, just like there's hypothermia, there's also what's known as a heat stroke or makat chom.
Or dehydration.
Dehydration is a little different, but exactly. But there's a certain, correct. So heat, you can still get heat stroke even if you don't drink enough. That's a very, both hypothermia and heat stroke are very common issues in the army or Boy Scouts or places like that when people are going out and, you know, hiking and outside at night. But
if you just schwitz, can you get
heat? Yeah, for sure. You definitely can. The Levush, which is already, you know, about 200 years ago, does mention that this would also apply to the heat, but it's not as much discussed. I think practically speaking, they didn't have the ability to play with it, but that's a different discussion for now. The Shulchan Aruch opens up. We have a klal in halacha that everyone's considered sick due to the cold because of hypothermia. You're going to get frostbite. You're going to start losing fingers. You're going to get very sick. You're not going to be able to function properly, right? You start, you know, it affects your entire life. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, HaKol Chol HaMetzel Tzina. Based on this, the Rivavos Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, who was one of the main Talmidei Muvhakim of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was the major posek in Memphis, in America. And so he was asked a question about this, about a classroom where everyone in the, right, sometimes the classroom gets very warm, but there's one student who's freezing cold. Okay? There's one kid who always complains, I am so cold, that everyone's like, oh my gosh, it is so hot. So they asked Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, what do we do? Right? Should we, because there's one kid, do we have to make everyone else be uncomfortable? Or do we say we go by the majority and we turn on the AC? Okay? Or open the window. Sort of Greenblatt, the Rivos Ephraim points out that as a result, he thinks because of this, there's no nezek if they act right if the windows are closed and the AC's on. Okay. Viraklan otamim rotim patua. Right? Sorry, one second. Venira hina. Le'elu shecham ein hezek im yasagor. Viraklan otamim rotim patua. The people who are a little bit warm, it's not going to be damaging for them to open the windows. They're a little warm. They're uncomfortable. Opening the windows is to make them more comfortable. But it's not going to actually cause them physical, like, distress. It'll be uncomfortable, a little schmitzy, but it's not actually going to cause them physical damage or any sort of real ramifications. But the person who's freezing cold, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kulam cholim etzel akor, the one guy who's very cold, for him, this is actually going to potentially cause serious distress, could cause them really to be sick, and you don't have the right to cause this person distress. You don't have the right to actually make someone sick. Okay? And because of that, yeah, for one person, it's a comfort issue. That is what you point out. It's a comfort issue versus a actual health issue. And because of that, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt goes, based on the Shulchan Aruch, kulam cholim etzel tzina, we follow the opinion of, we want to make sure that everyone is going to be healthy before comfort. And as a result, the person who's cold, even if it's one kid in the entire classroom, he trumps everyone else.
How would that change if you have a bunch of sick people in a hospital room arguing about this?
Fascinating question. I don't know. We'll have to think about that a lot more. But that'll go back to the question of maybe who is there first? What season is it? Maybe the hospital should have protocol. We'll move people rooms to have them try and play with that. It's a great question. Okay? Rav Belsky, Rav Yisrael Belsky, discusses this case regarding, you know, in yeshiva, sometimes there's someone who's cold, okay? And he writes, basically, in the winter, the halacha is like the one who wants to keep the window closed, and in the summer, the halacha is like one who wants to keep the window open, and air conditioner, but that, he says, the status quo of windows open, windows closed, is only true for windows. He says there's an inherent difference between an air conditioner and windows. This is Ravelsky, right? He was nifter a few years ago, one of the Gedolei HaPoskim in America, okay? He says, windows open and closed, that's what goes based on the seasons. But an air conditioner has different halachos. One who is afraid he will become sick from the cold air has a right to turn off the air conditioner even in the summer. Because opening and closing a window, that's letting in a breeze, that's letting in the natural air from outside. That is kind of, that's teva, that's nature. The AC is cooling things off beyond the nature. That's going a step, two steps, three steps further than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu naturally did with the wind and the windows. And as a result, AC plays by different rules, and that has the opportunity to really cause someone to become sick. So Rebelsky says, windows, we follow the status quo on the Gemara, but air conditioners, that's not true. The cold person has the ability to trump everyone else because ACs are different than windows. And last thing is the Darkei Mishpat also discusses this similar question regarding a kola. They weren't sure what should we do. Open the windows, close the windows, turn the fan on, turn the fan off. And he also says, near she made nezek. If there's no nezek, it's not going to cause any damage to someone's health. So then you should go based on rove, right? If everyone's kind of like, it's a question of preference. I prefer it warmer. I prefer it cooler. Majority wins out. But then he says, if it's going to cause negative damage to someone, then you go based on that person. And they trump the majority. Okay? So far we've seen two opinions. Opinion number one is it goes by the season. Opinion two, the person who's cold decides. There's those who say that is whoever the cold trumps automatically. And they say, no, it's only a case where you're actually going to be sick as a result of the cold. Or Ravelsky, there's a difference between windows, we go by the seasons. Air conditioner, we go based on the person who's cold because that actually has the ability to make someone sick. Now I want to look at the third opinion, the final, third opinion, and then we'll see how the Shevet HaLevi deals with it over the last 12 minutes of Shir. Okay, so we're going to spend like 3 minutes on this, then we'll see the Shevet HaLevi and sum up. The Shari Emuna, which is Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Perush on Seder Zroim, all his commentaries on the Mishnah. So he brings our Mishnah in Peah, and he opens off, quoting Rav Yisrael Salant, as he mentioned before, that one person overrides everyone else, okay? Right, based on the Mishnah, and we go based on the seasons, that's how Rav Yisrael Salant wanted to say, the seasons are status quo in Halacha. We follow the seasons. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky disagrees with that. And he says, you can't bring a proof from this. Right, right. The whole discussion in Peah of one guy trumping 99 guys, that's a din d'oraita. The Torah gives us psukim of how we deal with the halachos of Peah. Right, this whole question of the seasons and windows. Right, let me flush out the idea. It'll become clear in a second. Right, the sugya of Peah of one guy trumping 99 because that is the halacha. That's a din d'oraita. We have psukim that tell us what to do with Peah. Okay, that's special. That's unique. Okay? And so there, one guy can beat 99 because he's upkeeping the pasuk. There's a din d'oraita. The Torah tells us explicitly. Okay? But here, when it's discussing windows open, window closed, that's like a takana derabanan because of sakana. Okay? This has absolutely nothing to do with someone's, you know, the halacha. It's a din derabanan based on, like, this was a takana that was made for, you know, social justice to try and create, you know, a sense of, you know, equality. We're trying to create a general sense of, like, this is what we do. We're not trying to create machloket, and that's going to be different than the case of the Durban. V'lachein, afilu echad yacholim chot shelo yishnu me'adin eleim kein kulam maskimim. So as a result, it's going to be different here. Avakan. Now it's going to be different. Hari ein din ketzad yasu ela shederach klal b'kayetz chan v'chor v'char. There's no halacha that says, al pi psak halacha, you must turn on the AC in the winter, in the summer, you must turn on the heat in the winter. It's just, that's like the natural, normal thing that people generally want to do. Winter, it's hot. Cold, I want the heat on. Summer, it's cold, I want the AC on. But that's not like a din, similar to Hilchos Peah. It's not a halacha, it's a recommendation. It's a teva ha'adam, that's what people generally want. Aval im yesh siba, if there's a specific reason why we want to close the windows in the summer, open them in the winter, so then, he says the natural thing is we go by rov. It's not a din like Peah. So I understand why Rabbi Yisrael Salant wanted to argue based on Peah that this is the din, but practically speaking, he said, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, rove, majority wins, that's all. Because this isn't a halacha, it's different. The Pitchei Choshen, Rav Bloy, a fascinating figure. He passed away, I'd say around a decade ago or so. He was a banker, a really, really incredible, brilliant banker. But he knew a ton of Torah, he was a massive Talmud Chacham, and he was a banker. And then the Eda Charedis, the basement of the Eda Charedis, found out that Rav Bloy is a massive Gadol B'Torah, but he just works all day as a bank. That was his Parnassa. And we need experts to sit on our basement who know the intricacies of banking. Right? Most Dayanim don't know the ins and outs of the financial system and how that applies to halacha, stocks, and companies, and 1,001 Shiloh, not for now, about the world of finance and Choshen Mishpat and Dine Malmanis. So they were like begging him for years, please leave the bank, come be on, we need you on the base then. Eventually, finally they agreed that Kilo bought him out of the bank to come be on the base then. And he wrote a incredibly important set of svarim called Pitchei Choshen on Choshen Mishpat that are like the go-to classic svarim for anyone learning Choshen Mishpat, because his knowledge of the halacha was first rate and he knew the metzias and the ins and outs of finance and law better than anyone else. So he's an incredibly, incredibly important figure. So he writes here in Hilchos Geneva Vehona, Perek Tet Vav Hera Gimel. When it comes to opening and closing the windows, okay, in public places or in shuls, right? Sometimes there's one person who's uncomfortable and he's embarrassed. He doesn't want to tell everyone, you know, close the windows, right? There's that one guy who's like schwitzing and he's like, can we please turn on? He's like thinking, I want to turn on the AC. But he's like, every day there's the same fight. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to be the guy to start the fight. He's like, okay, you know what? I'll just be uncomfortable. So Rav Bloy says, right? And sometimes that's going to make him sick, right? He doesn't want to start the fight, so he's going to say that, okay, you know what? I'm just not going to get involved. And so he just says, oh, this is what it is, right? He says, how are we going to relate to it? Someone's embarrassed. They're going to be uncomfortable, okay? Okay, how is this going to apply specifically on buses or in shuls or different places, okay? So he says, do we benefit? Who gets more precedent, the person who's hot or the person who's cold? Okay? And he says, it's not so clear who gets precedent, the person who's hot or cold, right? This is your question before. What about, you know, someone who's suffering because it's really hot outside. So maybe you should get turned on the AC. It's like the flip side of kol cholim etzal tzina. Okay. So then he says, sometimes it's very hard. This leads to huge fights, unfortunately, lo aleinu and shul. And he says, he thinks at the end of the day, we should go by rove, majority wins, and we balance the majority vote, because the majority vote is generally going to be inclined, or in tune with the weather outside. There's always going to be outliers, but the majority opinion is going to be, oh, it's like 98 degrees outside, we probably should turn the AC on. Oh, it's 17 degrees outside, we should probably turn on the heat. So majority is going to follow the seasons generally, so we should go by Rove. And also when you go by Rove, there's going to be no fighting, right? If one guy says, we're turning on the AC, and you paskin like that one guy, people are going to be really upset, right? It's hard to logically explain to someone why one guy has the right to overturn the entire tzibor. But if you say we go by Rove, everyone can understand that, okay? And that's actually why, for example, in Yeshivat Shalvin, that's the minhag of the yeshiva, in the dorms, they take a vote for each floor of the dorms has its own AC system. And they take a vote and they go by Rove. When I spoke to Rosh Yeshiva about this, he said, it's not that I think this is right, up here, psak halacha, Rove automatically. But he said, when we're running a society, this is the proper anhaga. This is the derech hayasher. This is like, majority wins. No, there's not going to be any fighting. The majority says we want the AC on. The AC's on. Majority says we want the heat on. We have the heat on. You go by majority because that's the best option, okay? But if there's some, and then Rav Bloy adds out, this is incredibly important. Im yesh misha choshesh mipnei hamachla. Someone is afraid he's going to get sick. It's better that he should daven b'yechidus at home than go to shul and start a fight. Better to daven at home because you don't want to get into a fight about the AC on because you know that if the AC is on, you're going to get sick. Daven b'yechidus. Don't go to shul. Don't get into this argument. Three opinions so far. Do we follow Rove? Rove wins out. Do you follow the seasons? Or does the guy who's sick automatically wins out? Almost all of the opinions point out the ikkar is we want to make sure there's shalom. Let's spend 5 minutes quickly right now looking at the tshuva of the Shevet HaLevi. Shevet HaLevi really mentions in his first main tshuva where he brings us down and he says, right, some of the discussions we mentioned, he quotes Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah, and then he says, Ibrak Hayom Yireh De'en Efsher Limchot Al Etzem HaTakanat Ad Kanat Mazgan. Today you can't tell someone they're not allowed to put in AC. That discussion is, you know, past. They don't make so much noise. It's normal that people have air conditioners in their home. No, he's saying this in Bnei Brak, not in, you know, five towns, Manhattan, Teaneck, etc. So this is already shifting, you know. They obviously, Hakol Tali B'Makom, right, B'Makom V'Aminag, right? Hakol Tali, as the Rambam says, Hakol Tali V'Makom V'Azman. Everything's going to be depending on the norms of the place, okay? So already in Bnei Brak, he's saying the norms are that people can put on ACs, you can't turn them off, okay? Mishav Adira, right? Ochazka Chabura, you could have in shuls, in apartments, in the base medrash, okay? And this is for the benefit of everyone else that the AC is on because you're going to learn shtark. You're going to have a good minion. It's going to be nicer because not everyone's rushing out because they're shvitzing. But in my opinion, even if it's impossible to, yes, it's normal to have the AC on. We want to have the AC on. That's going to help the Torah. That's going to help the tefillah. But I also don't have the right. There's one older guy who prefers the AC off. There's one Talmud Chacham, the senior member of the shul. It's not fair that we should kick, right, as we're boys, it's better that he stays home. The Rishayim says, it's not fair. I don't think it's right that you should kick him out of shul because of this fight. I didn't mention one of the articles I saw on this. I forget the exact statistics. The older people are, the less inclined they are to heat. Their body gets colder naturally. And as a result, if you have a shul where you've got some of the tzibur that's young, some of the tzibur that's old, very likely there'll be a split along the age divide. That's just the natural biology of humanity, based on a few articles that I saw, but I forgot to bring the statistics to share. I apologize for that. So he's saying it's not so fair to kick, you know, as Rabbi said, we're not going to kick someone out of the shul because he's old and, you know, he can't take the AC. So now he's never allowed to go to minyan anymore. You have a separate minyan for the 50 up club, the 60 up club, the 70 up club, the 80 club, the 90 club, and then like those that are 40 under. Like, you're going to start having different minyan and you're going to break up the entire community based on age. That's not such a good decision for a tzibur. That's probably not so healthy. Okay. And this is going to cause real problems. Okay. So as a result, he says he doesn't think there's any problem to have the AC on and have the guy who's feeling uncomfortable, have him sit next to the window and open the window by his spot a little bit so he'll get some of the warm air. He'll get some of the fresh air. And the one window being open a little bit isn't going to completely throw off the temperature of the shul. One window being open, you know, halfway by this one little makom is not going to completely change the homeostasis of the shul. That's not going to change the temperature, the thermostat of the entire place. So that's really what the Shevet HaLevi points out. That at the end of the day, you want to try and say, at the end of the day, we follow Rove, but we follow Rove while taking into consideration the opinion of the Yechidim, the outliers, because we don't want to create a system where people feel uncomfortable going to shul. Just as 2 minutes left, two little things. The Shevet Halevi in his second Shuvah in Chelek Tet also discusses the question of, right, a tzibur where some people want to turn on the fans and some don't want to turn on the fans. So Rav Osner says, today in the summers, you definitely have the right to turn on the fans. That's totally normal, okay? And if most people want to turn on the fans, for sure you can, right? We go by majority. It's the middle of the summer. Of course you could turn on the fans. But then he says, I think you shouldn't try and push out the minority, get them out of the shul. They're not going to show up to the base medrash to learn there because they stay on, the fans are on. It's not similar to getting rid of people because of different nizikin of the birds, the blood, the flies, etc. Okay? And as well as maybe, you know, we could come up with a way to, you know, turn on the fans for part of the shul. You have half the shul with the fans on, half the shul with the fans off. So those that are warm will stay on the side with the fans on. Those that are cold will stay on the side without the fans. And they have people in the middle. And it's not going to completely throw off the entire temperature difference. Or what if someone only, right, that's the second Shuvah. If you could turn on the fans and part of it or all of it, what should you do? Okay? Basically, just to sum up and to end up, we saw different opinions today in the great air conditioning debate. Who gets to control the air conditioning? Who gets to control the thermostat, the temperature in public places, be it dormitories, shuls, apartments, things along those lines? Gemara Bava Batra, there was a summer shul, winter shul, okay? Summer shuls had big windows, lots of air. Winter shuls, no, very small windows, low walls, small ceilings, trying to keep in the heat. Commissioner and Paya, one person can override the 99 to try and overrule everyone else because that's following the baseline halacha. Sugyos and Hilchos Shchinah, how reliant someone in your chater or in your apartment building, etc., is causing you some sort of damage. Then we saw three different opinions in how it comes halacha l'maisa. The first opinion was that of Rav Nevinsal, Rav Schlesinger, the Chazon Ish, the Mishpatei Torah, and the Rav Yisrael Salant, which is, at the end of the day, the bottom line is we follow the seasons. Summer, the AC is on. Winter, the heat's on. In the fall, in the spring, we come to some sort of middle ground. That really is the baseline. That is the overarching halacha. Then we have the second opinion, which is Hakol Cholim Etzal Tzina. People are inherently going to be cold. So that's going to be the Ruvos Ephraim, Ephraim Greenblatt, Rav Belsky, and the Darkei Mishpat, who are coming and saying, really, at the end of the day, if someone's going to be cold, that's going to lead potentially to Chas V'Shalom, to them getting sick. They're going to be uncomfortable because of the sickness. We are going to do everything we can to ensure that people stay healthy. The fact that he's going to be sick, he doesn't need to be, you know, made ill because of other people's decisions. Okay, and then the fourth opinion, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky and the Pesachei Choshen, Rav Bloy, we follow the opinion of the majority, and Rav Bloy takes it a step further. We follow the majority opinion that even to the point that if there's someone's an outlier, they're the yachid, they're the person who's very cold or very hot when everyone wants the opposite, better they daven at home to avoid machloket. And Rav Vazner and Shevet Halevi, that was our main focus in this tshuva today, is the opinion that really we go by rov, majority wins, but it's majority wins while still factoring in the minority opinion. We don't want to kick people out of shul. We want to make sure everyone feels comfortable, feels at home. We want to make sure that we're taking everyone's needs and wants into consideration. And Bezrat Hashem, we should remember that whenever we have, you know, any sort of debates in our lives with roommates, with friends, parents, rebbeim, etc., that we're trying to come. Remember, you know, it's a machloket shi l'shem shamayim, as we discussed. Our goal is to try and get to the emes, and we're trying everything we can to not actually get into fights, not to have real arguments, but everything should be done with a mind of compromising, of a kol lefi pshara. We're trying to come up with a middle ground that's going to be comfortable for everyone, because we're kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. Yes, maybe we'll be a little bit uncomfortable, but my slight discomfort is more important than someone feeling embarrassed or uncomfortable to the point that they can't even speak out in their own shul, that they'd rather daven b'yechidus at home than even, you know, risk even mentioning maybe we should turn on the AC. That's something we want to try and avoid. Bezrat Hashem, we should have a life of no machloket, and hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, you know, in my opinion, the AC should stay on.